Today on the Mike O'Mara Show.
Yeah, we called Rob Ford, who is very busy these days. You got to get on his calendar.
Right. Yeah, he's Oscar's working him to death in Podcast Village. He's doing a lot of stuff. He's very busy.
One of the things that Gary says that makes you laugh is it when he says we should do another podcast and you go, ha.
If a guy comes in guns a-blazing, if Bonnie and Clyde, there's my recent reference, come walking in trying to knock over the ATM, does Gary, Gary's packing.
Gary's packing. He would shoot
them. He's packing,
Yeah.
I'm serious. Tony. He would draw on fire.
They would shoot them. That's it.
All that and more. The Mike O'Mara Show starts now. Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
Today's episode of The Mike O'Mara Show is brought to you by our bonus packages. Please go to MikeO'MaraShow.com and click on the bonus banner. You'll get access to all of our bonus content, and even better, you'll be helping out TMOS. So please, quit sucking, and we thank you.
Available on demand every day in iTunes and the Google Play Store, and around the world on MikeO'MaraShow.com. What more can we do for you? It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
Hi, everybody. Well, we've got two new faces on the screen that I'm looking at that I haven't seen in a while. Mr. Robert Ford, and down in the, Maddie, is it the lower right-hand corner? I mean, we did so much dicking around with the cameras before we came
on. He's right
on.
Where he should be.
I'd like to take Tony Perkins to block, please.
Hello.
This is our friend Tony Perkins. A lot of people on the More Network know this face. And certainly everybody in D.C. knows this face, this old face, like my old face.
You know what?
Tony Perkins.
We look like a meeting of the Hair Club for Men.
Yeah, this is really sort of a dissatisfying image.
You know, I used to be able to say I'm not follically challenged, but I'm getting the O'Mara thin. Up here, that at least, let me see, my cousin Teddy, John's still got a good, my cousin John's still got a good head of hair, and Billy's is hard to figure out because it's curly, so I'm not really sure.
I love using this word with you two. I know you two were classmates, so
we were.
Who is actually older of the two of you?
What's your birthday?
August 25th.
I am older than you.
Are you? Okay.
So you will be the big, I hate saying this. I don't like this decade. You'll be the big 6'1" in August.
Yes, that is correct.
I am older. I'm June 22nd. I am older than Tony. Can I give him a proper introduction because he hasn't been on in a while?
Please.
People that are fans of TPGS, as it's called, on the More Network, know the Tony Perkins Show. We'll have an announcement about that maybe. That might be why he's here. Tony Perkins, who's joining us here, and his sidekick, Donnie Simpson, can be heard every afternoon from 3 p.m. to 7 p.m. Hey. All right. I always got to bring out my Donnie.
Right.
It's been a while. Hold on. Hey, Mike. How are you? It's Donnie Simpson. Yeah. I think I'll knock out 18 before I take my Ferrari into the studio. Hey, man.
Oh, I didn't know he parks in studio.
Hey, man, how are you? I've got every dime I ever made. I'm super rich. Richer than rich. I don't have to work. Anyway, I'm sorry. That's done. Always been jealous. Always. I have been jealous of Donnie Simpson for at least 30 years.
Wow.
Well, maybe long. If you include, because back when I was at AU and Donnie is like, Donnie's what, 80, 83 now?
86 years old, yeah.
86 years old now. Donnie Simpson was a star when I was, when Tony and I were at American University, and then Tony went and worked for him. Like so many guys at AU, we were all sharp, we were all smart, and we got hired right out of college. It was very, very cool. But Donnie has been, a legend in Washington, D.C. for decades. And that's why, if you're really a legend, if you're a real legend, not me, if you're a real legend, you get rehired. Anyway, it's afternoons 3 to 7 on Magic 102.3. How you doing, man?
The real sound of Magic, the DMV.
The real sound of the DMV. It's hey, Tony, how are you? They won't mention my show. This show doesn't get mentioned with Donnie. He knows it's
we'll mention it today.
Really? You will actually mention. Will you tell him that I'm jealous of him and that I absolutely will. I want to know. Would you tell him also, please, that I am a 7 handicap? That will resonate with him. Which may be better than him at this point. I'm not sure.
I will.
He plays
that down.
All the time. Thanks, man.
He does play.
I appreciate
all the time.
It. Yeah. Every morning. You can see Tony in Washington, D.C., Get Up D.C., from 4:30 till 7 a.m. on WUSA Channel 9 with show favorite Annie U. That is the best morning television, local morning television in D.C. Two of the best people, nicest people, best professionals, and good people. And I believe, seriously, you guys will have that gig as long as you want it. That's how, it's not like other TV things.
Tony is the best guy for morning TV. And it was such a tragedy for me when he left on the mornings on Channel 5.
I hate it when I suck up and you suck up at the same time. You know that? Let's start the week off right. All right? We're going to be working without Oscar this week. And I'd really like to.
All right, let me restate what I said.
What's that?
There's been a lot of missteps in Tony's career. That's all.
Thank you. That's what I'm looking for.
Okay.
If you're going to jerry him. Because Rob likes to jerry.
This guy is such a legend thing. It's clang and play.
Just want to, I want to really right out of the chute this week set some ground rules that we don't do that. We don't say the same things at the same time. But go ahead. If you want to compliment him, you watch Tony and you tell me you watch Tony all the time. I'm in two different places. I'm not in the market anymore and I'm not going to, I'm not going to watch Tony online.
What about Annie?
Annie, now that's. Let me write that down.
Yeah.
That's good.
Well, of course, but Mike has a few saved files that he just refers back to.
Of course. Right.
Sizzle reel.
I think the first time I met Annie, she was in studio. I think she came in studio. I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Way back when. But lovely.
Annie is she's amazing because she literally worked her way up from working at the assignment desk to field producing. She field produced for me for a little while,
right.
Reporting out in the field, light stories, feature stories, hard news stories, and she's worked her way up to big time anchor. So she's done well. I expect very big things for her. I think she's going to be.
Well, you would know. You've had the experience yourself. You know what it's like to get called up to the show.
I'll never forget that
lunch or dinner we had a long time ago where I was like, man, you're top of the mountain. You're like, I don't know. Anyway, it was
is that when someone came over to the table and asked for Spencer Christian's autograph?
Tony was the weatherman
and
on Good Morning America.
It was Diane Sawyer.
Tony was the anchor man on Good Morning America.
Yeah,
and that's
so
the,
cool.
the weather guy on Good Morning America. And I assumed when I met him in New York that it's just gonna be I've attained everything I ever wanted, and then it was just like I don't know. That's kind of
here's the thing. It was great, but as I'm older now and I've had this long career, that was some of the toughest years of my career, really, because it ended up not being a great fit. I mean, there were a lot of wonderful things about it. There really were, but it was a tough gig. And I just finally decided, this isn't for me. I wish I felt otherwise, because I think every now and then I see like Michael Strahan and these people hosting game shows on ABC. And I think, man, I probably could have done some of that stuff, but it just wasn't the right fit.
Better. In my opinion, the thing, but look, what he's saying is true. The difference between Tony's career and my career is Tony was here. Let me explain it. Okay.
All right.
Tony. All right. Can everybody see my hands here?
Are you doing a COVID thing? Are you flattening the curve?
No,
what are you doing?
No, I'm doing, all right. The bottom of the start of a career, a small market, let's say small market, radio.
Okay.
Or whatever. And then network, television. Okay. Tony was unhappy. And decided that he wanted to downsize his career a little bit. And so he went here, all right?
Right.
I got to here, and I was a little unhappy. And then when the podcast started, I went here.
I can't see your hand, Mike.
That's exactly right.
Okay.
That's how that works. I'm happy, I'm happy. I like what I do, but I'm sitting there begging people for money every day because that's where I am in my career. Tony doesn't have to do that. Right. I have to do that every day. So I understand completely what he's talking about. The difference is that my happiness has gone. Tony's still chugging along. You're working harder. I mean, as far as hours are concerned.
Oh, yeah.
Than you've ever worked. And you've been doing that for a very, very long time. And are you still loving the radio and doing that? Is that your outlet every day?
Yes, it is. I love the radio, love working with Donnie. Very fortunate that we were able to get back together after not working together for 25 years. And you mentioned Donnie's career. Here's the amazing thing, and I'm not saying this to brag. Our afternoon show is the number one show in DC. And for Donnie to achieve that after 40 years, and he's done it at every station he's been at, number one, we're there again. It's very, very rewarding. We laugh every day. You know what it's like. You know what it's
like.
Well,
he's a nice guy. And he deserves it. And he's been resilient. And, radio, unfortunately, these executives that come in with radio and they just feel like they got to shake things up because it's their job and they screw up. And in that case, in Donnie's case, whoever picked Donnie up, whoever was the man that made that decision to hire Donnie again, that was a great move. And really, congratulations to both of you. And it's just you're not going to find, and you realize that, you're not going to find Donnie Simpsons every year, just like you're not going to have a great comedy movie every year. It's just not going to happen. You get a good guy and you keep him. TV is a little different story. TV is much more fluid in that regard, but a great radio guy. And I'm just thrilled and if you're in DC and you want to hear something real, I urge you to listen to that show on Magic because it's truly, it's old. We're old school. We know what it's. We know how to do it, for God's sake. You know,
we do something that no one gets to do anymore. Donnie's in control of that playlist. We ad lib every day. You know, we'll be listening. There will be a song on that we're playing, and Donnie will say, "Oh, you know what? Let's play this after that." It's like the old days, and most people don't get to do that. So I'm very blessed to be a part of something like that.
I am thrilled for you, and I'm also this happened this weekend, by the way. Tony's here because of something that popped on Tony's end on the weekend where. I'm trying to think how I got the information. I know I called you and it was special because
I texted you. I don't know if I was the
you
first
texted
to tell
me.
You.
So it started with you. You were. You were. Hold on. Let me see. All right. All right.
So you actually have the
Mike,
evidence.
It's Tony. And then he gave me this news and this was on Saturday afternoon. Mm-hmm. And of course, based on when he had a regular show on the network that we were working with, I still get that kind of like Tony texts me and I go, but anyway, but that's all right because it was so much work. But no, it was not. It was not. I'm joking. I'm kidding. You have an announcement to make because you guys are doing a something special. And I know that people that listen to this show will be anxious and there are going to be a lot of happy people that hear what you have to say right now.
I hope so. We have, after 2 years and 2 months, 26 months, we've gotten the band back together. Myself, Gary Stein, young Rob Ford, not so young anymore, have reunited to do
Married Man.
Another episode of the Tony Perkins Show featuring Gary Stein. And we just recorded it a couple of days ago. It's going to drop tomorrow. And we're thrilled. This has been a long time coming. It's very out of the blue. We've talked a few times over the last couple of years. Oh, should we do another one? Nah. Should we do another one? Nah. It just felt like the time was right.
You're doing another podcast?
Another.
This is exciting. Well, you're the hardest working guy in showbiz right now.
Right.
You're up at you're up at midnight to come in at 4. Well, you're at home, so it's a little easier. But to add something, what motivated you to come back and do another podcast, which that drops tomorrow, Rob, right? That's when we're going to have that. We're going to have that tomorrow. All right. That's very exciting. What motivated you to come back and hook up with Gary Stein again?
Literally, The podcast has been gone, but the relationships remain. And in particular, obviously, Gary and I have known each other forever. We talk all the time. Gary makes me laugh more than anybody else in my life. Gary and Donnie, those are the two people who make me laugh. And Gary will call me, leave me a voice message, text me. And nine times out of 10, I end up saying, you know, this could be a show. This could be on the show. And so finally, we did enough of that where it was like, let's just do one. Let's do one. And you know, we called Rob Ford, who is very busy these days. You got to get on his calendar.
Right. Yeah, he's Oscar's working him to death in Podcast Village. He's doing a lot of stuff. He's
one very, of the things, very busy. One of the things that Gary says that makes you laugh is it when he says we should do another podcast and you go, ha, 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 ha.
Yeah, that's great. What is Gary doing now? Is Gary doing anything besides his photography? Or
he's doing his photography, and he thanks you for your nice comments that you make on his photos.
He's a great photographer, and he's really good at it. I think outside of that, is he a roadie for Sarah, whatever her name
for his wife, Sarah Partridge?
Sarah Partridge?
Right. Not Sarah Bernhardt, Mike. Sarah Partridge.
Sarah Partridge.
Partridge.
Right. Partridge.
Of the Partridge.
I don't know what that was.
And he does real estate. He does real estate. He's very successful doing real estate.
And he's Gary a private investigator, isn't he?
Right.
What's that?
Isn't he also a private investigator of some sort?
Of some sort, yes.
Gary Stein?
No, he has a concealed carry program. Yeah, he has a concealed carry permit. I know this. Yes. And like,
Hold, stop. I didn't know any of this stuff.
Yeah, this has been discussed.
He's in the protection business, and I don't mean by
I can protect you. In the are you able to elaborate at all on the? What do you mean in the protection business?
He will, for example. Okay, Michael,
I'm going to break your arm. I'm going to break your arm if you look at me cross-eyed like that.
No, that's not.
Right. If you were traveling to Vegas, let's say,
Michael Mara, and you're very popular, and you decide, like, you're going to a big fight, and you decide, I need a bodyguard to keep the fans away from me and all that kind of thing. You could hire Gary.
Tony's being very
personally
kind.
Or would he hire somebody to?
No, he would do it.
How do you mean, Rob Ford?
Rob, can you bring up a picture of Gary Stein, please, on your telephone?
Yes, of course.
To show our listeners that might not have, might have jumped on board since the Tony Perkins show. Gary, let me get this straight. Gary Stein, your former producer at Good Morning America and your former regular partner at the Tony Perkins show, which was a labor of love. It was a passion project that you guys did. He didn't strike me as someone who would be bodyguardish.
No, you would not think so. There he is.
Hi.
Yeah.
Hi. I'm wondering.
That's a very young picture of Gary Stein.
He's not all over the internet, amazingly.
Oh, really?
Yeah. He's very private investigator. Yeah.
Would you like to weigh in on this?
So one of the big jobs I would say that he probably does the most often is Tony mentioned like being a bodyguard to like a wrestling match or something like that. Not really the case as much as far as the frequency is concerned. His bread and butter for private investigating is, you know, at an ATM, how sometimes they have to put extra money into an ATM or empty it, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So when they do that, they have to hire a bodyguard to watch the guy who's doing maintenance or emptying out the ATM.
Right.
And that's Gary. So basically he's across the room kind of just looking at the ATM guy while he's doing his job. And then once that's done, then Gary's done.
Mm-hmm. So if the ATM guy is working on the ATM and Gary's across the lobby of the bank watching the ATM guy work in case anything happens.
He's a bodyguard.
Should stay.
He's carrying Tony.
Okay, stop it. Stop it, please.
And after Mike, after
this
the
ATM
guy.
We should have maybe had Gary on. We should have made. This is also why you may have to now do a second podcast. just talking about what Gary does. So if somebody comes in. And it turned the Whitney Houston off, please, Rob.
So after they fill the ATM, if they want to go to a fight in Vegas, Gary goes with the ATM guy.
If a guy comes in, see, that's another one. Thank you for saying
Tony's
that.
Tony's driving,
I wish you were here all week. if a guy comes in, guns a-blazing, If Bonnie and Clyde, there's my recent reference, come walking in, trying to knock over the ATM, does Gary, Gary's packing.
Gary's packing. He would shoot them.
He's packing,
Yeah.
I'm Tony.
He would draw on fire.
They would shoot them. That's it. And he's got that anchor delivery when he says that, too. It's like, they would be killed.
I think he's actually, I mean, he wants everything to go well. I think he's actually looking for an opportunity to shoot somebody. You know.
Well, after this segment. Yeah.
I know that Gary is a funny guy. He's a one-liner guy. He's a very old school kind of comedy mind. But I never picked up during the show. You guys did a few of them. Has he always been kind of a gun enthusiast or a law enforcement junkie kind of guy?
He's a gun enthusiast, although he doesn't collect a bunch of guns, but he has guns, and he's he's not your typical gun enthusiast. He doesn't have an NRA sticker on his truck or anything like that.
Does he collect really old guns?
I think this was handled by Wyatt Earp.
Can I have him call in?
No. Enough of him. It's on to you. So you guys decide to come back and because it's been too long and maybe you'll do this. By the way, it's something I should do. I had another passion project that I will always remember what was the name of that guy I did the podcast with?
Chris Freites, with the political guy.
We get those calls too. I think it's good to do a one-off, but especially in this time, Freites and I could knock out an hour. I'd love to do something like that with these podcasts. I think it's a good idea. And you said it just was like driving a car. You guys hop back on together, lots of laughs, and it's really going to be a fun show. Correct?
Here's what's great about it. Because we have this great relationship. Going into it, there was no trepidation. The morning of, I thought, wow, I hope we still can do this. So the show starts, and those who listen to it, I make a mistake right at the top of the show. Gary is all over that, and we're just flying. It's like another episode that dropped a week after our last episode instead of 2 years.
Great.
We're right back into it.
You guys had a great following on this, with this podcast, and I know you love doing it. And really, I mean, congratulations on everything you're doing with your world and with your life. I and everybody dealing with this right now. And Rofo, special to come back and do it with these guys again?
Absolutely. It's always been a privilege to work with both Tony and Gary, and I've always been just so grateful to be a part of the project. And like Tony said, it was like picking up right where we left off, like the last episode that dropped, which just happened last week. It was amazing.
Did your marriage come up during that podcast?
Oh, yes, it did. It did.
It's a whole segment.
We'll copy that on this show this week. I don't get you very often. And we've talked about it, that's tomorrow. So you want to hear the Tony Perkins with Gary Stein show tomorrow. You can listen to it. And first thing in the morning, midday, when's it gonna be available?
It's going to be
morning, I would guess.
The morning, yeah. We're going to have it ready to go in the morning.
Ready to go and tomorrow
it's on,
morning.
It's on our old website, TonyPerkinsShow.com. It's in the old Tony Perkins Show feed. We'll be tweeting about it at T-Perk Show on Facebook, Tony Perkins Show, all that kind of stuff.
So. Yeah, and the big thing to do is to go ahead and if the last show hasn't dropped for 2 years, so you might have unclicked unsubscribe. So even today, go click subscribe so you get it right when it becomes available. And then anything else that might come after that?
Oh,
I hope I'm not overstepping.
Can I say one thing? We're following what you guys do. There's a video component this time. We're doing this, so it's not
this
just
is,
audio.
This is a difference cool. maker. First thing you know that I talked to you when I said, can you make the announcement on this show, and can you come on Zoom? That's kind of our I think we're moving in that direction. I think it's just kind of a prerequisite, and I hope that will change even when we go forward. That might be something you're not going to have any more of the phone interviews. I just don't. Right. I think everybody should do that, and it's fun to check out the backdrops too. You got Goodfellas, Psycho,
Shaft.
Yeah, you and Rob, I think, have some distant relative somewhere. I think that might be. you know, you both like Rob's still keeping the Beatles torch alive. I'm sorry to roll my eyes. I didn't mean to do that. That's but it's always.
Yeah, I'm the one guy that still likes the Beatles.
I know they're popular. I know that's a snide comment that they're popular. I get that. Yes, and you are too. So, anything else that you want to? Can I ask one question because I am obsessed with him?
Yeah.
So the average day for Donnie.
Back to this.
The average day for him. What does he do? Does he count his money in the morning, or what does he?
That he spends an hour on that in the morning. Then he'll play golf.
Scrooge McSimpson.
Buy a new car. Do you happen to know? Because I know you don't care about certain things that he cares a lot about. Do you happen to know what he's riding around in now? His top seed. What's he riding around?
I think it's a Mercedes truck of some sort.
He's got the G wagon. Does he have the G? Of course, he's got the G.
I don't know what letter
he's
it
not
is,
got. A, he doesn't have a regular Mercedes SUV. He's got the G wagon. I'm sure. Do you think?
I think that might be right.
The one that looks kind of like a military vehicle, square.
Yes. Yeah.
That's the one.
He needed to have that extra space, Mike, to carry the money.
That's it.
So we do the show in the afternoon. Of course, we're doing it like we're doing this now. Everyone's at home. Show starts at 3. I call in right at 3:00 and talk to the producer, and we get everything ready. And our first break is at 3:09. So Donnie calls in at 3:08:30.
That's what I love about the guy. That's it. And he's probably a little prickly for those first 3 breaks, and then he realizes he's got to be there, and that's fine. That's it. And he's at home too, or does he go to the studio?
Yes, he is.
At home too. Oh, that's wonderful.
That's got to be miserable for him to stay at home.
Well, I'll be listening, and I want everybody to listen to the Tony Perkins Show, and that comes tomorrow. And Rofo's going to let everybody have it, and we'll promote it on this show, and you can find it everywhere. And continued success. Call me anytime you want to promote anything. It's always good to hear your voice, and it was good chatting about everything yesterday, and
it was
continued wonderful success to you, and we'll watch you also in the wee hours on Channel 9, which is kind of where you belong, I think, after all these years. That's the station that I that I think really maintains, carries the torch.
WTOP Television, Channel 9, Washington, D.C.
Going way back. Thank you, guys. Mike, Tony. I love you. I love all you guys. Always a thrill to come on the show, and thank you for the support over the years. You've always been very, very kind to me, and it's very much appreciated. So thank you.
Tell Donnie if he ever wants to support the Patron Society, I could use a big fat check. That's it. We got to start the show. Bye, Tony.
Bye,
Tony. We'll be right back on the Mike O'Mara Show.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. You can listen to the Mike O'Mara Show at www.mikeomarashow.com.
Stay tuned for our standing entertainment program.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
Let's get down to business.
From the entertainment capital of the world.
Be so completely obsessed with your own body that you take your temperature at the dinner table.
Let me tell you something, Jack. I'm 10 years older than you, right?
Yeah.
Right, I just hope that when you get to be my age, you don't smell the foul breath of death and disintegration hanging over your shoulder the way I find it hanging over mine. I have shifted into a state of entropy that's progressing geometrically.
You see? Entropy. Progressing geometrically. You talk like a bad textbook. Why don't you just speak English?
God damn it! I just told you my deepest fear! Why can't you listen to what I'm saying instead of how I'm saying? I mean, do you have any idea what it is to be afraid of death? I can't eat my bowl of cereal anymore because I have an irrational fear of milk. I stand there in hallways afraid to press strange elevator buttons. I almost threw away my jockey shorts because I have this fear of elastic.
Don't laugh at him.
Yeah, well, come on, laugh. Good. I'm a fool, huh? Right? I'm a collection of eccentricities. You think because I'm quirky, I don't hurt?
No.
Well, you have it wrong. I'm quirky because I hurt.
Oh, Danny, I'm sorry.
Huh?
Now, come on. Are you really afraid of your underwear?
I'm dying, she's laughing. Oh, my God! My Mercedes!
The Mike O'Mara Show. Mike O'Mara, Rob Spiewak, Oscar Santana. And now, from his easy chair, here's Mike.
We are live from the Podcast Village studios in our nation's capital, Washington, D.C. The Mike O'Mara Show is on now. We're heard all the way from Bear Grass, North Carolina. Welcome to Bear Grass. How are you?
Don't need to mow there because the grass is bare.
Yeah, but the bear grass is coming in awful thick this year. Welcome to the bear grass. I don't know if there is such a thing as bear grass. Is there? Myersville, Maryland, Port Bolivar, Texas, Rutgersville, Virginia, Central South Carolina, and Islamabad, Pakistan?
Yes, really? How cool is that?
Wow. The show today, we want to welcome a new sponsor, GiveWell. Every year, millions suffer from easily preventable diseases. This year, because of COVID-19, even more people will be in need. If you're in a position to give and you want to help, you need to support the charities where your donation will really make a difference. That's what the mission of GiveWell is. GiveWell.org. That is their mission. For over a decade, GiveWell.org has helped donors find the charities and projects that do the most good per dollar. The Boston Globe calls GiveWell the gold standard for giving. GiveWell dedicates over 20,000 hours a year researching charities and handpicks a small set of the highest impact evidence-backed organizations. Plus, GiveWell takes no fees, so all of your tax-deductible donations will be used to help others. You can rely on GiveWell. I love this concept. Visit GiveWell.org, where you know you can make a difference. If you want to have even more impact, donate soon. Any listeners who become new GiveWell donors will have their first donation matched up to $100 when you select podcast and Mike O'Mara at checkout. This matching offer is good for as long as funds last. So get your first donation matched up to $100 when you select podcast and Mike O'Mara at GiveWell.org. I urge everybody in our listening audience to hear what I say and then go check them out at GiveWell.org. Check out what the website's all about and the good work they do now more than ever. All you have to do is watch the news all weekend and know how much need there is out there, and we appreciate them joining us today and letting you know how you can help other people's, because they know other people's they know what kind of listening audience we have, and I think that's fantastic. You played Jack Weston from, what is the title of the movie?
The Four Seasons.
The Four Seasons.
I thought Jack about Weston. It came to me in a dream, the My Mercedes clip, but it's too short to play on its own.
Are you sure you didn't just see Jack Weston on TCM yesterday?
Oh, was he on TCM yesterday?
Yeah, and I wanted to ask you about this. Since you played Jack Weston, because sometimes I wonder if you come in with a Jack Weston clip, because there was a Jack Weston movie in the middle of Sunday that I looked at that I didn't stay with it. I went back forth. It looked like a suck-a-thon, and I'm
that's a very common reaction to a Jack Weston movie, is to go back and to go away.
I hated it. I hated it even the brief time I looked at it. It's an old movie, I think 1969, called Cactus Flower. I've heard of it.
Yeah, I remember that.
You've
because
never
of
watched
Goldie
it?
Hawn. I don't think I've ever stayed with the whole thing. I know that it's legendary. Goldie Hawn is real pretty in it, right? She's extremely. That's the selling point.
I think Goldie Hawn was very laugh-in-y when she was more cartoonish in this movie. But she's in it, and Jack Weston has
dark glasses and
big lamb chop sideburns, and he's a very interesting looking guy in that movie. If you've never seen The Four Seasons, it's all these people that vacation together every year.
Right.
And it's a 1970s movie, probably late 1970s, with Carol Burnett and Alan Alda.
Written and directed by Alan Alda.
And, so it's very, very Alan Alda-y.
It's very Alan Alda-y. Very, very actor-y. You know, very,
yeah.
Very actors being cool. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Actors being successful adults. You know, it's just very, I like it because it's just it's a time capsule to watch it. But Jack Weston's my favorite part of that because he is the one that's, you know, that's not Slicky Boy. And cool. They all have issues, though.
They do.
Actors being
and
actors.
They have to be sensitive and yell. Jack Weston also pretty much ruined the Incredible Mr. Limpet. That's the young Jack Weston. And I also, wasn't he in the Cincinnati
Kid? I'm going to stop you right there. I don't think the Incredible Mr. Limpet could be ruined. It was ruined when it came out.
You don't think that the concept of Don Knotts as a fish, as an animated fish?
No.
Is that what it's about?
That is not a good movie. That is, yeah.
Oh,
you know what, Rofo? Check it out sometime. It's The Incredible Mr. Limpet. It's horrible.
Oh, it's so thrilling because what happens is the real life Don Knotts is a fish-loving guy in the 1940s. And he wishes to become a fish.
In World War II, not in the 1940s.
Well, you see, Mike, that's the reveal I'm going to say. He falls in the water, becomes a fish, and Jack Weston is a Navy guy, and he befriends the Don Knotts fish, and they help win World War II.
Is this in color?
It's animated. It's living in color.
And living color. Wow.
Living color.
With animation, you know, there's a name for that technique.
Like Mary Poppins? The live.
It's live,
yeah,
live.
The mixture of both, yes.
Roger Rabbit.
Live action anime. Oh, it sucked.
It is. It's pretty bad.
Maybe you're right. It's a bad
movie. But it was one of the only, growing up, it was one of the only animated movies they would show on Channel 5 when there was only, you know, four stations in D.C. So well, I watched it a lot.
Oh, God. Horrible. I mean,
it was really bad. Yeah.
Because I liked Don Knotts and I like another. I watch these movies occasionally because it's the time capsule theory of watching them, and they're so dated and and that's what I like about TCM. I like to see something that is truly, truly special once in a while, which they put on that network. Cactus Flower was just like, oh God. But you can tell the sexism that exists in that movie.
Mm-hmm.
And what TCM is very smart, and maybe you can speak on this. They are running movies that are not necessarily politically correct with kind of like disclaimers on them now,
yeah,
right?
They do that.
And they're even doing analysis on some of these.
Yeah,
even foreign films that might be a little politically incorrect.
They do great as a rule on the primetime programming, not so much on like all day or all night, but if it's a primetime drop-in, they will have a introduction and sort of a post-mortem by a very knowledgeable movie person. And it helps you to enjoy the movie even more. They do a really great job. Ben Mankiewicz, of course, right now is the gold standard since Robert Osborne passed, but they've got a lady who does musicals. They've got a gentleman who does film noir that's very good. And I really like the way they present them in context because you can't just disregard, you know, a 100-year industry because of the changing times.
I want to give you, speaking of television yesterday, I watched this kid, Colin Morawa. Moriawa, I think it's Moriawa. I'm not sure. I might have it wrong. I hope I'm pronouncing his last name. He's so new on the scene. 23-year-old guy wins the PGA Championship. Look at this. I think this kid, 23 years old, I think he goes on to be the next biggie. And he's got that vibe. He's a good-looking kid. And you know, you never know if somebody's going to be the next
Colin
Tiger
Morikawa.
Woods.
Maybe
Morikawa. I'm sorry, damn it, I can't write Morikawa.
Right.
And this kid, here's how I know somebody could be special if they keep winning and they're as good as they seem to be as a golfer. You immediately start rooting for him because he's got the presence, the charisma of he's got that, and he's got it. So he's super smart,
great smile.
It's just, there's something about him that I think I could be wrong, but we'll see. But he's
got a Mike O'Mara haircut.
It's funny you bring that up. I've been hesitating. This was on my show prep for all of last week.
I remember.
My
haircut. You kept saying that we could talk about it. We never quite got to it.
Well, we're not going to. We're going to take a break. And,
is it time?
Back,
already time?
I might get to it. I might get to it. But we'll come back. I have something I have to purge. I haven't done it all summer, but I have to purge about my psyche up here. I had a bad weekend. I had a very, very bad weekend.
I'm sorry.
And I know it's my fault, and I dragged my wife through it, and I have to apologize. And I'm serious about it, so understand I'm not going to make light of it, but it'll probably make a lot of people laugh because I am so incredibly insecure as a human being. Thank you very much. We will take a break and come back with more on the Mike O'Mara Show, a segment all about me when we come back.
Fathers, podcasters, get set for real gonad-crushing action this Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Big Capital Center. It's the TMOS Hot Rod Thrill-tacular. New for 2020. Rookie champion Michael William O'Mara behind the wheel of the V8 Supercharged Ball Crusher McGee truck.
Ball Crusher McGee.
He's the killer to your dong pillow. Putting the slap tag on your jam bag. It's a slobber knocker in your sleep number. Sack stopping, testicle tearing, gonad annihilating action.
Bonus.
Get more ball-breaking action every week with the TMOS Bonus Show subscription. Subscribe today and don't be cruel to the family jewel.
Quit sucking.
Ball Crusher McGee.
Oh. Oh, send that to me, please.
You got
send
it.
That. I know I shouldn't as being a bad parent, but I'm going to play that for a little boy.
Mark Burdell with a lot of time on his hands using it well. Thank you, boy, Twitch.
Twitch. Twitch, you're killing it. And it was a nice picture of you seeing your daughter after all that time.
I love that.
That was very, very sweet over the weekend. You saw it, too, on Facebook?
Yeah.
Really? Did you really see it on Facebook? You're never on Facebook.
Actually, Mike, I saw it on... he emailed it to me personally.
Okay. There you go. Yeah. Well, way to maintain those relationships. Anyway, welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, brought to you by Stamps.com. As we slowly adjust to a new normal, we still need to be smart about how we do business. Luckily, there's Stamps.com to make things easier. Thousands of small business owners have discovered the benefits of Stamps.com in recent months and have kept their businesses running while avoiding crowds at the post office, all from their own computers. You simply use your own computer to print official U.S. postage 24/7 for any letter, any package, any class of mail, anywhere you want to send it. Once your mail is ready, just leave it for your mail carrier, schedule a pickup, or drop it in a mailbox. You get great discounts too, 5 cents off every stamp and up to 62% off, 62% off USPS and UPS shipping rates. I mucked that up. I'll give you that whole sentence.
Okay,
again.
Here we go.
You get great discounts, 5 cents off every stamp and up to 62% off USPS and UPS shipping rates. That's both of them, okay? United States Postal Service and UPS, you get them both. Stamps.com is a no-brainer, saving you time and money while keeping you safe. Right now, our listeners get a special offer that includes a 4-week trial plus free postage and a digital scale without any long-term commitment. Just go to Stamps.com, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage, and type in TMOS. That's Stamps.com, promo code TMOS. All right. Usually I would do this with Oscar here because he kind of analyzes me psychologically more than most, but I'll lay it on you two guys because I'm up here. Both of you have been up here with me, and I get emails if I do this. I will inevitably get poor Mike. Poor Mike with his second home. Oh, poor Mike with look, I don't care who you are or what you do. I think every human being, no matter what their stature in life, has insecurities. All right?
Yeah.
Rob Spiewak has them in his own home. And you know, we will do an analysis of his psyche maybe later in the week. Rofo, I think you've demonstrated that you're a complicated lad as well. We
can always
have
be better.
Our issues. Here it is for me. When I'm down in Florida with the group of people that I hang out with, my socialization in the world outside of my own home consists of an occasional gathering. This is all non-COVID, by the way.
Okay,
an occasional gathering of people that I will socialize very infrequently. Mostly it's family with my wife's family, and other than that, it's me on the golf course having a couple of beers with the guys, and that's it. And then I'm back to my home. The three people I hang out with the most are my wife and my son. That's the two people I hang out with, and that's fine with me.
You're a threesome, right?
Flash forward up here. There's a lot of family up here, and I try to ignore this crushing feeling that I get when I am up here. That this is embarrassing. This is really embarrassing. That we don't rate. That we are that I it in a best case scenario.
Your threesome, your nuclear family doesn't rate.
That we that and this has begun by it's some of the same things that happen all the time. I feel as though we might be an obligation socially for people. I feel as though when we extend an invite that people are feeling a little obligated to join it. And my wife feels the same thing. If it was just me, I would say up the meds, take more medication, Mike, and you'll be fine.
That'd be a bad idea.
And so it's something where I don't quite understand it.
Can I ask for one clarification before we move on?
Yeah, because I'm speaking a little cryptically because I don't want to step on toes.
I understand.
Up here. I've done it before, but I've felt and this since I was a small child all the way through my career.
I don't think this question of clarification is going to step on any toes. Do you feel that they are obligated, the people that you, your circles that you run with in Maine, are they obligated to include you, or when you invite them, they feel obligated to
excellent
come
question.
And be in your circle?
I don't feel there's obligation because invitations are few and far between outside of my own sister. That's the way. And that
so you're not getting invited into very many events or
she would tell you, well, you don't do anything. You don't go down there and you don't try. Well, that's not true because we've made efforts in the past.
I know this. You went to the band thing last year.
We've done that, and it gets to a point where you get a little paranoid, and I know everybody in their face. Do you know of or have you been in a situation where you feel as though there are family members that are close to you that, and I'll include my sister's family. We're part of their world, and we got an invite on for like dinner the next night on a Saturday night late, and I felt like it might have been obligatory. And I said I passed on it because even in that close circle, I felt like it came in late and it was, do you wanna? And it was kind of that way. And so it resulted in, we occasionally will do a drive down to where most of the family is. And we see this ton of people down there gathering, including my sister's family. And I'm like, oh, that's nice. And
nothing
suddenly,
you knew about, right?
No. And
you just were going to drop
by the
in.
Way, it's from a long enough distance where I see a few family members and I kind of snapped. I turned the car up the hill, drove away, saw another family member coming down the street, the wife of a family member coming down the street, rolled down the window. Hey, how are you? It's fine. I said, oh, do we just take a little drive to find out what people are doing without us? It was not as bad as that sounded. It was a little, well, no,
can we
you
have
know
a,
what? That's crap. It was
it
just
again,
as bad as it sounded.
More realistic.
You
want
to try it again with a different tone to see if you could make it sound better?
There's no way.
There's no way, is there?
No, it's horrible. And Carla was embarrassed that I did that. But it was.
But she understood. She has the same feelings?
Yeah, she does. She's reached out. And it's, the whole reason for doing this was to kind of get reacquainted and reengaged. And that's
right.
We're at that point now where it kind of sucks. And I needed to come in and purge about it because I don't have many outlets. It's not like I can call you guys up and say, let's go to lunch. This is it for me. I'll be sitting on my friggin' hands. I'm taking my son out for lunch. Sitting on a rock having an egg salad sandwich after this is over. That's my day.
I could make a ham sandwich. We could Zoom for lunch if you want.
No, it's
but
just
let me say, let me, as a great man once said, let me offer this. I think that the fact that Carla feels it too is very, very valid because she is a relative newcomer to the situation. But the bedrock of the situation is the fact that you're the youngest and you've always been babied, dismissed, and been the low man on the totem pole as long as you've been around these people. It just happens that way. You're the youngest. And I think that it makes, and I'm the youngest essentially, because even though I'm an only child, I was the ninth person. My grandparents had eight kids, and then very shortly after I was born. So I'm sort of like the ninth kid of that generation, if that makes sense. So
yeah,
I've always been the youngest. And because of that, and I think there's a little commonality here. You try a little harder to get some attention. You want some more attention because you're the baby of the family. And, a lot of times you're dismissed. And I know that you've, you know, you're an older man now, but it's still, those relationships never go away because they've been that way for 60 years.
It's kind
of
a drag.
And it is a drag. And the thing is that I could see yourself talking yourself out of it, thinking it's just something that I interpret. That's just my interpretation. It can't really be like that. But Carla, well, who's only been around it for a little while, if she feels it too, there's probably something tangible there.
And when you bring it up, it is an extremely easy thing to have dismissed.
Yeah.
No. Everybody's going to deny it. No one's ever going to cop to it. Nobody's going to. Or if they do, if you press people on it, they're going to lay it on you. And that's where I am. So at the for all those people in big families that feel like you, let me tell you what I've craved. I've always craved the idea of, and this is a deep thing for me, of having a familial situation that was just a more like maybe would be portrayed in a big Italian family in a movie where it's like, hey, that kind of thing. And not having that is just weird. And maybe it's a, I don't know if it's a an Irish Catholic thing, if it's a New England thing, if it's a Maine thing. I don't know what it is, but it, it you know, I always have one show like this when I'm up here. I always have one weekend like I had last weekend where I was in a blue funk. I'm pretty sure I dragged my wife down with me, but she kind of corroborated a lot of the things I was saying, and you know, there we are.
But
so
you still love your
family. Hope you enjoy our last summer in Maine, ladies and gentlemen. Hope you enjoy, because we are going to be thinking about spending every summer after this in Las Vegas, Nevada. There you go.
That's a lovely town too. But then you'll go over, you'll head over to the casino, and you'll see a lot of people gather, and you'll say, "Why wasn't I invited to this blackjack table?"
It's just weird. It's weird, and it was nothing. Listen. If there was contact after that, but then radio silence after my denial of the invite, because I was just, and I have no idea whether, look, I don't expect anybody to have telepathy and figure out the way it's feeling with this type of thing. But it just gets old.
Mike, and it's the same, like,
way. And Carla said to me, it's the same time every time we do this. It's the same relationship with the family. And to be honest with you, you know, who knows? I'll probably never know. But for people from big families that go through any of this crap, I feel you. I understand. But on the big scale of things, I watched a viral video that was planted on somebody that was dealing with COVID, and a nurse that was a frontliner that documented a video diary of her battle that she eventually lost with COVID. There are people that have so many much bigger problems.
So
it's
true.
Like that. It's but I still need my psychiatrist. Yours are important too. Occasionally.
Yeah, and I understand. And Mike, it's like your family is a baseball team that's been playing the same positions for a long time.
That's for sure, baby.
And you're still the bat boy. And I'm sorry. Yeah, it's what happens.
Thank you. That really depressed me. Thank you. I'm not sure this did any real good for me, Rob. I truly don't. Johnny Perkins Show dropping tomorrow on the More Network.
Yes, it is.
Please make sure you check it out.
Hey, you should go to that get-together with your family, but bring Gary with a gun just to protect you.
You make sure if you do another one of those, I want a whole show on Gary Stein's weapons. I truly do. We'll
it's
take
a revolver.
A break, and we will come back with more fun and more thrills. You are listening to The Mike O'Mara Show.
This is your president speaking. These are trying times. So now I will provide you with more of my favorite words. When you hear these, it will help. It just will. Fancy, drippy, golden brown, grape, rope, hooker, intense, pointy, soda, glazed,
hooker.
Smurf, cute, jacuzzi, parcheesi, ham, bunny rabbit, Sinbad, dodgeball, energy, pee. I meant the vegetable, not the other one, but that's okay too. And supremacy. Thank you. Don't trust the Postal Service, and don't forget to vote on December 13th. Remember, you can't spell America without me. Get bent.
Oh. Thank you, Donald. Appreciate it. Rob, did you get your bed yet? When are you getting your bed? When are you getting your bed?
It delivers this week, actually.
Very exciting. Rob's getting himself a Sleep Number bed as we safely enjoy summer. Quality sleep is more important than ever. Not only is it a natural immunity booster, but it also helps with energy and recovery. Better sleep even prepares you to be more balanced emotionally. Sleep Number 2, the rescue. From feather soft to super firm, you can adjust each side of a Sleep Number bed to your Sleep Number setting, so it's just right for both of you. I love
love this product. I've loved it for years. You're going to love it, too. Here's a fact. Compared to average sleepers, Sleep Number bed owners enjoy almost an hour's more of sleep per night. Quality sleep is one of the best methods to boost general health and well-being, and that's important now more than ever. My Sleep Number setting is an 85. Carla's is a 65, has been forever. As she loves it, I love it, we love it. Proven quality sleep is life-changing. Improve your sleep with the Sleep Number 360 Smart Bed. And now for a limited time, save up to $500 on select smart beds. Shop your way at a Sleep Number store, online at sleepnumber.com/TMOS, or by chat. Just make sure that they know that Mike O'Mara sent you. Okay, we have Rofo a couple of times this week on the show, so I want to take advantage. We've also got Rob's dealing with a lot of COVID stuff with his daughter. We got to get to that this week as well.
Bad weekend.
But I wanted to ask you, Rofo, how is married life treating you?
The married life. The married life has been going well. The thing is, not a lot really changed from when we, as far as like our day to day, but it definitely feels different as far as like. We have rings. That's weird. I've never worn a ring before. Ring.
Look at you. Like Liberace.
Yeah.
You want to see mine? You want to see mine? There it is.
Oh. Mike, you have no ring. Right. You have none ring.
I lost two. I lost two. And then Carla got me some rubber ones.
Yeah.
Because they'd stay on and I broke them because I chewed them. Like a child.
You're a toddler.
So I don't. But I still hold out hope for getting another one at a certain point.
The ring
I might get one for. Maybe I'll have to ask her to give me one for her 40th birthday.
That'd be nice.
That's what you've got for me, the ring?
That's just like one little thing that reminds you every day. But we are starting to really kind of get into this this big partnership thing. So one thing that
What do you mean partnership? I mean, you were together before the marriage.
So we were. So I'm talking about like things that we do just for day-to-day life, how we kind of handle the roles. Like, for example, I think I mentioned the last time I was here, we got a new puppy. We adopted a rescue puppy.
That's wonderful.
And so you're a two-dog family now, right?
A two-dog family now. And this dog is now about 7 months old. And a couple weeks ago, Christina went out and she signed us up for puppy classes. And just kind of said, this is the time it's going to be. It's going to be on Monday night every night. We're going to do these puppy classes. And
she didn't ask you?
No, she didn't ask me. And it ended up being fine. But, it's one of these things.
It ended up being fine. But let me just say, you need to establish yourself there. So,
exactly.
Excuse me. Now this gets to what I was going to ask you about this marriage deal.
Yes.
Do you believe that is something that would have occurred? Take the puppy out of it. I'm talking about in any circumstance prior to the wedding ring. Is that something she would have asked you about before she signed you up for it?
It is, it's hard to tell. I think maybe not leading up to the wedding, but maybe earlier on in the relationship, like if it was like a year or two earlier, maybe it'd be a little bit more. But usually she's pretty good about, and we're pretty good about kind of being on the same page about what needs to be done. But it's something that,
that's different.
It's different that kind of I had to think about and say, okay, this is something I think needs to be maybe managed a little bit. We have to kind of manage it and keep kind of, communicating, being on the same page about this kind of thing. And
what's the last thing, Rob?
Hold on, Rob. Hold on.
Yeah. Please.
Does she use the word "you need to" in any sentence? That's it, by the way, because I've lived it for many, many years now, over a decade of marriage in this particular one. My total marriage is over 20 years, but they're three different people. The word "you need to."
Let me
explain the context of that. You need to replace that light bulb. You need to go to the grocery store. Do you ever hear those words? You need to.
I do, and for
too soon. Too
it
soon.
Is. It really is. Soon. It really is. And but the thing is, we have to have that two way communication about. I like to have things framed as a request.
Madeline, you're in a committed relationship yourself. You're not. You haven't strode down the aisle yet.
No.
But do the words "you need to" ever come out of your mouth towards John, or does John say that to you?
No, I think usually, like if I want him to do something and we have talked about it previously, I'll say, "Hey, reminder to do this." So it's not.
That's a little softer.
Then I get my way.
Okay.
I'm just curious, one thing for Rob.
Semantics.
I have a question for Rob. When's the last time you said to Christine, hey, we're going to do this, like she did about the puppy class. Is that something that you've ever popped on her?
Yeah, yeah, it has. I think the last time, actually, you'll appreciate this. A couple weekends ago, I said, you know, we need to go to Costco. So we ended up
about that, Rob.
I truly appreciate that.
Where do you go besides Rob? Where do you go besides Costco? Do you go anywhere else at all?
Oh yeah,
I mean, regularly. I'm talking about besides once every 6 months.
I do the, of course, I go to Total Wine and Beverage, but I do the curbside pickup there. Liquor store you still have to go into.
All right. So.
And let's see, anything else? I'll visit my mom occasionally. Last time she came here,
he's not joking. He's not joking. That's what he does.
Oh, wow. Yeah. It's like presets on the radio dial to his locations.
As Pony would say, that's it. That's all.
Well, actually, Rob, to be fair, most radios have 5 presets.
Yeah, that's it. That's where you go.
Yeah.
The wild card.
Interesting. And if you had what we have down in Florida with the liquor store right next to the Costco, that would save you an amazing amount.
I would free up another preset. Yeah, I could go somewhere else.
By the way, speaking of booze, I saw your man, Luke Bryant. Somehow, I don't know how it happens. Have you guys been noticing even more now that when, I will give you a classic example.
Sure.
I had a text and phone conversation with Tony Perkins over the weekend. This morning I woke up and first on my Facebook friend suggestion page was Sarah Partridge.
Oh,
you know
do
what?
Do you buy that they're doing it that way
I don't know if we mentioned it on the show or in real life that after we were talking about your Mexican version of the Moscow Mule you made that had ginger beer in it.
Yeah.
And on the bonus show, and you mentioned a brand, I believe it was Reed's ginger beer.
Right. Reed's ginger beer.
And you didn't like it. And we talked about it on the show, and the next morning it was in my Facebook feed.
Isn't it an advertisement for Reed's? It's not weird. They're algorithms. They know how to get the information you're talking about. Mm-hmm. But Luke Bryant was doing his recipe for the perfect margarita. And I think he uses 4 ounces of tequila, 2 ounces of Grand Marnier, and then the agave
nectar
mix.
Mm-hmm.
Like an agave margarita.
No
mix.
Lime? Right. It would have to have a lot of lime in it, though, huh?
I don't know. I'm not sure.
I might get rickets if I don't have my citrus. Sure.
But he's an ad. I agree with you.
Yeah.
Rofo.
Yes.
Yeah. It's equal. It sounds to me like you're still feeling your way out a little bit. Is that
right?
Yeah,
it is. Let me ask you this, Mike, because you've had, you know, the different experience with different
multiple marriages, Rofo.
Trials.
Yes, multiple marriages.
Call marriages different
successful,
marriages.
And I consider the current one successful for now.
What are your...
And every marriage was with a different woman.
Well, the two prior to this did not work out.
Not like Richard Burton.
What does that mean? That's a horrible thing
to
say.
No, I'm saying like Richard Burton, he married Elizabeth Taylor twice. I want you to know that every time it's been a different woman. You've not doubled up on anything.
Thank you for clarifying.
Thanks for that. I appreciate that.
So what do you do to kind of maintain where you want to be as far as that, I guess, you know, power dynamic?
I do everything she tells me.
Really? And that's it?
Yeah, I do everything she tells me. I apologize when I am an ass. I'm the first one to apologize more than she is. I do all this. By the way, you might say, Mike, you're a candy ass. Thank you. I accept that. But I do that because I've come to the conclusion at this stage in our relationship, she is always right.
Yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. there it is. I know that might not be good news for the men in the audience, but unfortunately, that's the way it works in our household. Mm. Yes.
And let me offer this, Rob. This October will mark 24 years
excellent.
For Carrie and myself. And there's been ups and downs, and it's nice and smooth right now. But I will say this, just choose your battles.
Is it really?
Smooth, yeah. I'd say smooth.
How to define smooth? That sounds like a very unusual adjective to describe a relationship.
I would say not a lot of passion in any direction. Just smooth.
Thank you very much. He's pleased me. He's pleased me. I knew he had a funny
just choose
time.
Your battles well, Rob.
It's good advice.
Because you know what? If you want to fight, make sure that it's worth losing.
A lot of passion in any direction. We will take a break. Come back. Rofo, when is Rofo with us next, Rob Spiewak?
He'll be joining us on Wednesday. Tomorrow in the hot seat, Madeline Masiello, which I look forward to.
I look forward to that. Rofo, it's always good to see you. And by the way, you're doing a great job substituting on the DC end for the production of the podcast. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
We'll take a break and we'll come back. No passion in any direction. When we come back on the Mike O'Mara Show. Smooth.
Choose your battles.
Smooth. King's Things. And now, here's Larry.
A good fence is thrilling to me. I once shared a cab with Dick Shawn. Oh, boy. There's only one thing I won't pierce, right?
Oh.
I fired my tree surgeon for malpractice. I'm out of syrup again. Shop, shop, shop at the TMOS Shopping Center. Target and Walmart. Big bargains at TMOS.com. Buy it, baby. Be a helper.
I always laugh at the thought of Larry's pantry. He has too many beans, but he's out of syrup again.
Oh, constantly. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, brought to you by our bonus package. Well, you can bet your ass it's Monday.
Yes.
Another hard start to a busy week. Yeah, you betcha. Discouraged? Don't be. At least you have something to look forward to. Another TMOS bonus show this very Friday.
Yes.
Unless, of course, you haven't subscribed. What's the matter with you? Were you too busy eating paint chips to click the link at MikeO'MaraShow.com? Say brainless. Don't you know that for mere pennies, you get full unlimited access to every bonus episode of all time? No commercials, no censorship, no fooling. And now with the tropical taste of coconut. Yum, bitches! Just click the banner ad at MikeO'MaraShow.com. Be smart. The whole damn thing is right there, just waiting for you. And a subscription just might cure your lockjaw. It's your passport to the assport. If Mike O'Mara endorses it, I guarantee it.
What?
And now back to Phil Silvers, the Sergeant Philco Show, already in progress.
News.
News.
Let me grab my news.
Wasn't prepared.
Simon Cowell was seriously hurt on Saturday when he fell off an electric bike and broke his back. His spokesperson said, quote, he was testing his new electric bike in the courtyard at his house in Malibu with his family when it happened. Beyond that, it's unclear what caused him to fall. His condition required 5+ hours of surgery to repair. A source says he had, quote, a number of breaks and has had to have a metal rod put into his back. That is serious stuff. Not surprisingly, he isn't expected to take part in this week's live telecast of America's Got Talent, which air tomorrow and Wednesday. His fellow judges are wishing him well. Last night, Simon tweeted, quote, if you buy an electric trail bike, read the manual before you ride it for the first time. I have broken part of my back. All right.
Mike, he also issued another statement that I have.
Is that right?
Scary, not funny, creepy. I mean, it was just awful. Terrible, terrible, terrible. I hated it.
Yeah, he didn't like it.
Yeah. Thank you, Simon. For what it's worth, Simon was hospitalized in 2017 after he fainted while climbing up a flight of stairs. He'd fallen backward and needed to have his neck put in a brace. He later blamed that fall on low blood pressure. Simon is 60 years old. That is so old.
Yeah, and he looks different now. I think he's had a lot of work done. Do you think maybe he's had work done?
Oh yeah.
God, why? Get old. You're a good-looking guy. You keep yourself in relatively decent shape, Simon. You don't need to do. What did he do to his mouth? Where he had?
Do you think he's
got that fake black beard happening? You know.
By the way, when you're
60, it's this color. All right, all white, Santa white. That's what happens when you're 55, not 60.
Please. Do you think it's a broken back or a broken back, and he's going to come back looking really shiny?
Oh, that's interesting.
Oh, the conspiracy angle.
Yeah.
Let's see.
Very interesting. The Houston Astros are probably the only sports team that's relieved there are no fans this season because they were expecting a ton of heckling after their massive cheating scandal, but fans in Oakland still found a way. They set up a GoFundMe to fly a banner over the stadium that said Houston Asterisks. A reference to... Cool. A reference to how they cheated their way to a World Series win in 2017. They wanted to raise $1,200, and the campaign made twice that. They flew the banner over two games in Oakland over the weekend, and now they're hoping to raise more money so they can, quote, followed the cheaters around the country.
So great. Houston asterisks is the greatest thing I have heard in 5 weeks.
It is. It's funny. And it's not just the fans who are pissed. There was a bench clearer, a nasty one yesterday. Was it the Houston guy that got hit? I think it was the Oakland guy that got hit by a Houston pitcher. And as he was dragging down, somebody was giving him crap from the dugout. And he just did a beeline to the dugout. And it was intense. They're not happy. The Astros are not happy with all the crap. And they deserve what they're getting. So that's going to last as long as this team and the guys that were on that team are still on that team. That's just the way it is.
But those cardboard cutouts really got a show that day.
They did. And have you seen the cardboard cutout at the Dodgers game of Weekend at Bernie's?
Yes, yes, guy? I have.
That's so funny. So well done. You know how people get sick with a mediocre TV show, hoping it finds its groove? Well, sometimes it works the opposite way. Some shows start out on fire, but then fizzle out immediately. Here's a list of shows that peaked in season one, along with the number of seasons they lasted. Okay. The best one of the bunch is The Walking Dead. Well, that doesn't make any sense. I thought that peaked and kept its passionate following. Well,
everyone still loves it.
Like 10 seasons, didn't it? Yeah.
Yeah. Now we go right down. Handmaid's Tale. I was a big fan of season one. I haven't watched it the same way. 3 seasons, but it's counting, and I'll probably look at it. It comes on at a convenient time. Orphan Black. Anybody watch Orphan Black? Anyone?
No.
5 seasons. Twin Peaks, way back when.
Actually binged that recently. That was hot with college kids this last year, where
was
a lot
really?
Of her friends binged Twin Peaks. And that was so weird because that was on when I was in college.
Hot as a firecracker, then feels fizzled up. Number 6 is Daredevil, 3 seasons. Number 5, Heroes, 4 seasons. Number 4, True Blood, 7 seasons. This list does not make sense.
7 seasons.
To me.
Wow.
7 seasons is a lot, and I guess they're saying it declined in the viewership. I stuck with it for a while. You know what? I can see their point on some of these.
Yeah.
Westworld, 3 seasons and counting, but the Westworld has dropped off significantly.
Yeah.
Once Upon a Time. What the hell is that?
That's the fairy tale show.
Oh, it's so bad.
7 seasons.
You sound disappointed.
Oh, it's so bad.
She make you watch it? The new Mrs.?
I've seen a couple episodes.
You need to watch it, Rob.
She's into the fairy tales and the vampire kind of stuff. I can't get behind it.
Number 1 is Lost. 6 seasons. Plunged.
Oh, I love
it. Well, they missed, the most obvious one is This Is Us. This Is Us became unwatchable in season 2. And the first season was fantastic.
I think they were smoking pot. Anyway, a new study at Duke University looked at 14 different types of face coverings to see which ones block the most particles. Everybody's interested in this.
Yes.
And there were some clear winners and losers. Overall, they found those N95 masks that look uncomfortable, especially for fatheads like us. They work best and block the most particles. That kind of makes sense. That's not surprising. Disposable surgical masks, those are the ones I use, they were almost as good. And homemade cotton masks with multiple layers do well, too. They all offered good protection. Knitted masks with bigger holes like a scarf don't block as many particles for obvious reasons.
Bye.
Yeah, I know. And bandanas don't do well either, partly because they're single layer.
What about fishnet?
Well, you have an unlimited supply. And,
I do.
I would say
I
could keep on keeping on.
Yeah, but I mean, I'm running out of stockings now. I mean, it's like, what are you going to do?
What's he wearing, George?
Sexy.
What's he wearing? The man in the Costco over by the snacks. The worst masks by far were neck fleeces.
Okay.
Also called gaiters. They're the ones neck that you wear around your neck, and a lot of people use them when they work out. They don't. They didn't block a lot of particles, though, and might actually make things worse. Remember that if you're using those. The study found they broke saliva particles up into even smaller droplets that got through. Okay. You might want to put those gaiters away. And smaller droplets can float around in the air longer, so they're more likely to get someone sick. So don't use your gaiters. I'm seeing a lot of variety packs. Use them. Go buy them. Send them at Home Depot.
Yes.
Buy a box of the paper ones. They work well. That's what
gaiters.
I use. God damn it. People.
Breaking up the droplets, making you look like a dick. Bad idea.
More pandemic news. Americans are still going to Mexico to pay for sex, but one prostitute in Tijuana says it's not quite as many as before. One prostitute they found in Tijuana to do the interview.
The Tijuana prostitute, Mike.
One American man in his 50s who was interviewed anonymously I'm getting the impression that our show prep people that do a lot of this stuff for the news you may not need, maybe they're just having a few cocktails and making this stuff up.
I know this. The Tijuana prostitute thought that Lost wasn't any good in season two.
One American man in his 50s who was interviewed anonymously says he's been staying safe from coronavirus on his trips to Mexico by using wipes on his hotel room and only eating outdoors. So yeah, all safe except maybe having sex with a prostitute in Tijuana.
Wow.
There you go. That sounds exciting.
Was he wearing a gator?
A lot of droplets there.
Stop it, Rob. You see, no.
He's okay at it. He's a little better at it. He really is.
Really?
He's got it. Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm really sorry about that. You know.
I guess I just got to find my spots.
There you go.
And now like that a little guy.
All right. Passion. And now there's a you delivered today. There's a 40-year-old guy. His name is Brian Duffy. From Pinellas Park, Florida, and a few weeks ago, he went to a 7-Eleven and got into an argument with the clerk about the price of a Slurpee. The female clerk wound up taking the Slurpee away from Brian when he refused to pay. Well, Brian slapped the cup out of her hand, so the Slurpee fell all over her.
Oh, dear.
Brian was arrested for battery, and since he has another battery conviction, he was charged with a felony. All I have for you today is a little Mike O'Mara poetry.
I love when you write poems. Yeah.
Very simple. Brian Duffy would always get huffy when he thought that he might soon get screwed. He had issues with trust, he fumed and he fussed, and nothing could brighten his mood. Yet even for him, the chances were slim that this meltdown would happen at all. But when Brian felt cheated, things really got heated, and the camera soon captured it all. The Slurpee was pricey, and things got real dicey as Brian began to wail. A fight and a slap, a cashier covered in crap, and now Brian is going to jail. Thank you very much. There it is, ladies and gentlemen. I'm here all week. Yay.
Great
yay,
meter. Thank you. Great meter.
Yeah. Anyway, we'll take a break. Come back with Rob Spiewak and the Audio Vault with Passion right here on the Mike O'Mara Show.
If you'd like to learn more about the Mike O'Mara Show, the Library of Congress recommends these books. Bad Dog, Shaming Your Chihuahua to Cure Its Incontinence, Butterfly Grounded, Literacy and the Modern ESOL Student, and One Fish, Two Fish, Red Loofah, Blue Loofah. These and many interesting books aren't found in your local library, but if you'd like to read more, shop Walmart and Target through the TMOS Shopping Center and share your favorites at the TMOS Fans Book Club and Recommendations page on Facebook. We'll be happy to help you read more about it.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. Well, it had to happen. We all know things are tough, but we never thought we'd have to fire Oscar.
It's true.
It's a sad day here. It really is. But as you can see, he isn't here. Oh, for sadness. Luckily, Rob Ford isn't union. We'd love to have Oscar back, but we need your help. Please visit. Hold on. I'm getting an 800 number call.
Oh, really?
I'm going to take this. I don't take these very often.
No.
Let me do this. Hello? Hello?
Maybe it's Oscar calling. He's got one of those burner cards.
Oh, they hung up on me.
He wants
sometimes
his job
they
back.
Smell they're going to get.
Oh, yeah. They, they don't want trouble.
Yeah. Well, we'd love to have Oscar back, but we need your help. Please visit the TMOS Patron Society. That's unethical. What you're doing is unethical. Rob Spiewak wrote this. I'm throwing him under the
bus. It's tongue in cheek. Satire.
Your generosity could have him back as soon as next Monday. You're a funny man. You really are a funny man. All joking aside, you have the power to help him. I put the M on that. It's still funny.
Help
join
him.
The TMOS.
If you love
Patron
him,
Society.
Mike, if you love him, you'll help him.
Go to MikeOMaraShow.com. Click on the Patron Society banner and make a pledge for Oscar. $10 a week or any amount. I yell at Rob for doing it, and then I do it more. Even one time donation, all for Oscar and all entirely for you. Because if you're there for Oscar, he'll be there for you. If you can contribute, please do for O.
Yes.
Your support means the world to us now more than ever. We appreciate you, and we want Oscar back. Be safe. We'll podcast for food.
Oscar.
Oh, hold on a second. That took out my whole thing. I got to open that. There it is. Hopefully I got it.
Yeah.
There it is. Take it away, Rob Spiewak.
We haven't done Oscar's this feature in a while, Mike. It's Choose Your News.
Okay.
Do you want to hear Mike Tyson throw up?
Oh, boy. Are you going to give me a choice of two things?
No, it's a yes or no. We can either hear him throw up.
That's an enthusiastic capital Y-E-S. Yes.
Okay, very good. Just want to let you know that this is what's coming. Shark Week, they finally revealed last night what his Shark Week stunt was. He swam with sharks and had to hold a female shark while they put a camera on her fin. He did it successfully, but he was very nervous before the dive.
You all right, mate? Oh.
It's definitely not encouraging to see a first-time shark diver in chainmail about to get in with sharks throwing his guts up. He throws up inside his full face mask. He's not experienced enough to know what to do, and he could panic, he could drown in his own vomit. That would be a terrible way to go.
Yeah, that would be a terrible way to go. Let's hear just the beginning of that tape again. There you go. one more time. It looked like mostly salt water to me. I couldn't tell.
That sounds like real vomit. That's a pretty.
What if you got it in your mask, Mike?
I don't swim with sharks.
Really?
By the way, don't forget darts.
Oh, you're going to do that league, right?
Yeah, the dart league. It could mean anything. It'd be darts, billiards.
But what if you get ate a lot? Like a lot of times, you play darts in a bar. What if you got like a big meal of like potato skins
and mozzarella sticks? I'd throw up in my scuba mask.
Iron Mike.
That is amazing. That's right. What a promo for the show, though. Wow,
exactly.
Fantastic. There we are.
Oh, and also, Mike, when I emailed you, I just want you to know that Twitch was kind enough to isolate this.
Ball Crusher McGee.
Now, there is a country band called Old Dominion, and I know of them because their lead singer, Matt Ramsey, is a VCU graduate. VCU, my alma mater, VCU, really top of my list right now.
Oh, you'll
Virginia
have a story
Commonwealth
tomorrow about
University.
That's for sure. Mm-hmm.
They had a self-titled album they released in the fall of last year just called Old Dominion, and to Goose Sales, he's done a remix of some of the songs where he's replaced all the lyrics with the word meow, kind of like in that movie Super Troopers. But I love the fact that he's singing it with all the passion of the original record.
Meow, 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 meow.
Oh, wow. Song's making me nauseous.
You all right, mate?
So that's the meow mix version.
You know what the best part was? The best one.
What?
The best one is when he throws it. You all right, mate? Okay. It sounds like the crocodile.
You all right, mate?
That is your Magic Audio Vault. Have a great Monday, everybody. And remember, save Oscar.
That is a great start to the week. Our thanks to Tony Perkins.
Yay, Tony.
Tony, fantastic job. Tony Perkins Show with Rob Ford, who's right there and will be joining us again on Monday.
Wednesday.
Just what I said. Drops tomorrow. Tomorrow's right. Rob is here Monday. The Tony Perkins Show is on tomorrow, Tuesday.
Right.
Rob Ford's going to come back with us on Wednesday. Tomorrow, the incredibly talented and very witty Madeline Masiello will join us on the show. It should be very, very special.
It was very funny when I told her that she'd be running board tomorrow. She says, are you sure you don't want Pony running board? I said, absolutely.
Oh, wow. Yeah, well, it's fun. Anyway, we'll be back with everybody tomorrow for Rob Spiewak, Oscar Santana. Mike O'Mara saying so long, everybody.
Bye-bye. Anything, Rob?
Ciao.
Thank you.
Before you go, please make a mental note. Today's show was made possible by the TMOS bonus packages. You can secure yours right now by going to MikeO'MaraShow.com and clicking on the red bonus banner. Buy it or give it. Either way, you're helping out TMOS, and that's a good thing. Thank you, and go in peace.
You all right, mate?
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
Now get home safely. Good night.
It's been a good day. My God. What a good day for mankind.
Good night, Jerry. Good night, Millie.
Bye-bye.